Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this Lord's Day, we turn to Galatians chapter 5, beginning reading at verse 13, reading through the end of the chapter. We'll be specifically looking at verses 16 through the end of the chapter. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you are consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And if we are in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thus far the reading of God's Word, may He add His blessing to it. As we look at God's Word this morning, we, in the past weeks, have looked at the fact that the Galatians, and so often people today, want to go back to the law somehow to save themselves by something we might do. And Paul has again and again reminded us that the only way of salvation, the only hope of salvation, is through faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, then people, having heard that, may perhaps say, well, then I can live however I want to. And he says, no. Galatians 5:13, among many other places, where you brethren have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We as Christians are not called to live then as sinners in the midst of the whole mess, but we are to live different. We are to live as Christians. And so the theme that we see in our passage this morning is that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Believers are called to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Believers are called to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. As we look at this passage in verses 16 through 18, we see the conflict between the flesh and Spirit. In verses 19 through 21, we see the works of the flesh, which exclude from the kingdom of God. And then in verses 22 through 26, we see the fruits of the Spirit, which should be manifest in the Christian life. So first of all, we are called to walk in the Spirit. Do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, he says. In Romans 13, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We're not to make no provision for the flesh. Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We're no longer slaves of sin. We're no longer even to make provision for the flesh. We are to be living in the Spirit through Jesus Christ. And the Spirit and the fleshly lusts are contrary. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. This is the experience of the believer. This parallels to Romans chapter 7, and that's often considered by some to say, well, that's an unbeliever wanting to become a Christian. There is no possibility of that. We have to understand, according to Scripture, there is none who desires to believe, according to Romans chapter 3. And so Romans chapter 7 teaches us, and here we speak about a believer, the experience of the fact that we as Christians desire to do that which is right according to God's commandments out of thankfulness to Him. But sadly, we are thwarted by our sinful flesh, thwarted by our own selves, because we are sinful. Romans 7 verse 18, for I know that in me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform it, what is good, I do not find. The flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against the flesh, Romans 7:22 and 23. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And Paul here says, so that you do not do the things that you wish, in verse 17. Romans 7:24 and 25, just following what we just read, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I, with the mind myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Christians, all of their life long on this world, will have to struggle against sin. And we need to understand that. If you are led by the Spirit, Paul says here, you are not under the law. You are not under the law for salvation. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. We are not then to live according, using our liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but we are not saved because of what we do according to the law, and we are not condemned because of what we fail to do. Romans 6, verse 14, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. As we said, verse 13, we are not to use our liberty in Christ as an occasion for the flesh, but we are to see this conflict and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The works of the flesh, which exclude us from the kingdom of God, these works, Paul says, are evident. Jesus said, Matthew 15, verses 17 through 20, Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile man? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. I hear many Christians pushing care about every grain of food that would enter your mouth, worried that we might make our lives just a few more minutes longer. And I'm sorry, this is useless. Jesus says that very thing. Worry about what goes into your soul is far more important. The goodness of the doctrine which you hear and believe, that is what we must be careful about, not about what the food we eat. And what comes out of us, Jesus says, that's what's important. That's what defiles a man. And he says, here, Paul says, these are the works which defile us. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Adultery is listed right next to sorcery, which is listed right next to hatred, and contentions, arguments, and jealousy, and envy. And some of these things are glorified by our culture, glorified by our politicians, and yet these are the works which God says, Paul says here, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are eternally dangerous things to be messing around with. Colossians 3, verse 6, Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Those who practice such things are defined by them who live in these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, Jesus says, God says. And so we are to be defined by something else as Christians. We are to be defined by the fruits of the Spirit, which are manifest in the Christian life. These fruit, as we see in verses 22 through 23, these proceed from God's gifts to us. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We are to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And he says, what are those? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, he says, there is no law. Elsewhere, the scripture says that if you do not want to be afraid of the magistrate, do those things which are good. Well, these are the things which are good. We are to proceed to do the things which proceed from God's gifts to us. God's very nature is these sorts of things. And so we are to love. We are to have joy. We are to live in peace, in long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions. Galatians 2:20, earlier in this book. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We as Christians are to be defined by the fact of Christ's salvation purchased and given to us. If we live in the Spirit, if we are saved, we are to walk, we are to live in the Spirit. Romans 6 verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So those who are Christ's have crucified, have put to death, have gotten rid of the desires, the lusts of the flesh. We are to live not according to those lusts, but according to the lusts of the Spirit. And so Christians are not to be conceited. He says, verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We are saved by God's grace, not by our worthiness. Therefore, there is no patting ourselves on the back saying, what a good boy am I, but a reliance in Jesus Christ and what he has done on our behalf. And so we are not to become conceited. We're not to provoke one another, saying, look how much better a Christian I am than you are. Look how humble I am. No, we are not to envy one another either. Paul says, Romans 8, verses 3 through 5, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so we are to walk in the Spirit. We are to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. We are to live according to the things of the Spirit. We are to live in the fruit of the Spirit. We are to see these things, which are the fruits of the flesh, the works of the flesh, and we are to run from them. And we are to hold fast to the truth of God's Word. As we look at this passage, we are reminded of the grace of God to us, and we are not just to say, well then, look how good I am that God saved me. No. We are to say, look at the wonder of the grace of God who has saved this miserable sinner from the eternal hell which I deserve. Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the Internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS. Or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pierre, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.